Comcast is bleeding broadband subs while throwing off cash. That's the tension driving the week. They lost over 700,000 domestic broadband subscribers in 2025, with attrition up 73% year over year. Losses accelerated. Q4 was -181,000 versus -104,000 in Q3. Yet, the stock trades around 8x forward earnings, as Comcast still generated a record $19 billion in free cash flow in 2025, returning $6.8 billion via buybacks and $4.9 billion in dividends, a 4.7% yield.
So, cash is healthy, but the engine is coughing. What did they actually change to stop the slide?
They simplified and discounted. In January, they spun off legacy cable TV networks into Versant Media. Then, they leaned on promotions, free wireless lines on Xfinity Mobile, and 5-year price guarantees to slow churn and push bundles. Management is upfront. This pressures connectivity EBITDA margins through 2026. The give is near-term margin. The get is deeper household stickiness.
And mobile's the wedge?
Yes. Xfinity Mobile, riding on Verizon's network, added 1.5 million lines last year to reach 9.3 million, about 15% of Comcast's broadband base. But here's the rub. Verizon benefits from that MVNO traffic, whether those lines are free or paid. Comcast's bet is conversion. Turn those free lines into paid in the back half of 2026. Management flagged H2 2026 as the proof point. If conversion is strong, margins repair as mobile ARPU layers in. If not, pressure persists into 2027.
Meanwhile, the base is shrinking. Wireless attach rising off a smaller base is still a headwind, unless attach jumps faster than line losses. What are they doing locally?
Expanding retail to cut friction. Comcast opened a 3,000-square-foot Xfinity store at 1229 Knox Avenue in North Augusta, South Carolina, with a grand opening on April 17th. Their first in that city, and only the first step in local plans, with partnerships hinted. The point is face-to-face sales for multi-product bundles, device support, and quicker upsell into mobile and streaming. It won't beat radio economics head-on, but it can trim churn.
Can storefronts beat fixed wireless on value? T-Mobile and Verizon are winning on speed for price in a lot of zip codes. T-Mobile keeps touting 5G Advanced and slicing. That's what's hitting cable churn.
Exactly. Retail blunts the impact. It doesn't erase it. If Xfinity Mobile moves from roughly 15% of broadband homes toward the mid-20s, that buffers cash flow even if broadband units soften. But you're burning subsidy until conversion lands.
Let's pivot to Charter. What just changed?
Charter extended its Spectrum TV app to Google TV and other Android TV OS devices. Broader access equals more stickiness. The stock shows a 7-day gain of 8.13% and a 90-day gain of 24.69%, but a 1-year total shareholder return of -30.19% per Simply Wall Street. Their most followed narrative pegs fair value at $275.47 versus the last close at $236.62, and highlights DOCSIS 4.0 upgrades and multi-gig speeds as the competitiveness driver.
Translation: product reach and speed to blunt fixed wireless, but debt means they can't dawdle.
Right. Execution speed matters because debt limits flexibility. And the shield is the converged bundle, broadband plus mobile, mirroring Comcast's path. The risk is the same trade-off: more promotions and CapEx now for retention, thinner margins short-term.
Who's on offense? Verizon?
Verizon's narrative is scale plus 5G depth. Reports this week highlighted 5G coverage over 230 million people, a continued push into fixed wireless access to challenge cable, and a dividend profile around 6% with 18 consecutive annual increases. They're pushing MyPlan flexibility, private 5G, and edge integrations. And they collect MVNO wholesale from Comcast and peers, even as they compete in-home via FWA.
I'm skeptical on enterprise right now. Private 5G and edge sound like slideware. What's actually moving the needle?
Today, it's FWA and premium plan mix. The near-term scorecard is FWA net adds, MyPlan premium adoption, churn deltas, and wholesale revenue stability from cable MVNOs. Strategically, it's a trade-off. Keep CapEx intensity high to widen mid-band coverage and capacity while sustaining those dividend commitments. They've funded tens of billions over recent years and still emphasize predictable cash returns.
And reliability? If performance gaps persist while T-Mobile pushes 5G advanced features, Verizon's pricing power erodes.
Network quality remains the brand anchor. No way around it. Timing also matters. AT&T and Verizon have targeted late 2025 for standalone cores, which could finally unlock some of those enterprise features they've promised. One more external pressure point. The FCC's April 30th vote on modernizing satellite spectrum could expand LEO capacity, intensifying rural competition against both cable and Verizon's FWA in select areas.
Let's call winners and losers, and who holds the leverage? Consumers have more options. That raises churn risk for cable and forces price guarantees. Verizon has more bargaining power than Comcast near term. They get paid on MVNO wholesale now, while also picking off households with FWA.
Money flows show it. Comcast's $19 billion in 2025 free cash flow funded $6.8 billion of buybacks and $4.9 billion in dividends, even as they accept lower connectivity EBITDA margins through 2026 to defend the base. Charter is channeling resources to DOCSIS 4.0 and multi-gig, but debt keeps the leash short. Verizon monetizes both ends, FWA subs and MVNO wholesale, plus that dividend around 6%.
So what's the one thing to watch?
Watch Comcast's H2 2026 Xfinity Mobile free-to-paid conversion. If conversion hits, bundle economics can stabilize margins into 2027. If it misses, Verizon stays in a stronger position, collecting wholesale while pressing cable with fixed wireless growth.